The show you're about to listen to is very old and comes with a warning. When we recorded these shows over a decade ago, the world was a different place and we were little more than children. As a result of this, you might hear a few things that by today's standards we judge to be inappropriate or offensive. Please don't be offended. In the years that have passed since recording these shows, we've all grown up to be wonderful, loving, liberal, free-thinking, open-minded individuals. If the us from over a decade ago say something to upset the you of today, please understand that we're as disgusted with ourselves as you are. But isn't this what life is all about? Learning and growing? We all said and did things in our younger days that make us cringe when we think about them. We just recorded it and put it out on the internet. With all that in mind, I hope you enjoy the show. Oh, and there's just one more thing. Don't email the show or try to enter competitions. We don't have that email anymore, and all the competitions are over. We do have a Facebook group where you're very welcome to discuss any aspects of the podcast. Please visit simplysyndicated.com for more information.
Now establishing data link. Accessing.
Hello and welcome to episode number 20 of Make It So, the Star Trek podcast. This week we're discussing another forum-based suggestion by one of our listeners, Pale Young Anglican. He wrote, since my suggestion on, or do you think that's just bollocks, backfired somewhat? I can't remember what it was, so write to me and let me know. I thought I'd make one here. What's your favourite character relationship? So, Mike, this week it's character relationships.
Okie dokie.
How are you doing?
I'm fine. I have a bit of a cold because I was on a shoot for 4 days, working about 17 to 20 hours a day and getting up at 4 a.m. every morning and going to some of the most rancid, horrible locations that have ever been known in the UK. So I'm feeling a bit shit. Well, I'm not feeling shit. I just sound shit. And I'm also coming through live via Skype, so the audio quality may be a little bit in need of forgiving for this episode.
The reason being is that I couldn't go out because Barkley the dog arrived today.
Barkley the dog.
Barkley the dog. As I sit here, he's looking at me.
Is he looking at you?
He's looking at me from underneath his basket. He's sort of burrowed into it. And he's
is Barkley freaking you out a little bit, or is he...
No. He's just got... Now I know how Frasier feels when Eddie stares at him.
Right.
Does
he know how to work the crowd a bit? Does he know how to sort of make himself look really cute?
No. He's only 3.5 weeks old.
So he's not quite learned that one yet.
No, he's about 8 inches long.
Right, okay.
That's how big he is. He is tiny wee sized doggy. It's painfully cute at the moment. Before we get started, I just want to thank Cody Knox again. Because, well...
Yes, again, thank you.
We've had those discs for about, is it a week now? A week and a half?
Yeah,
something like that. I've blazed my way through season one. Really, really enjoyed it. And now Alice and I are halfway through season two.
Yeah, fantastic.
And that's since, what, Saturday? Yeah, in the last 2 days we've watched, 12 DS9s and the rest are to follow. I'm so pleased.
I think I've caught up on there was about two that I hadn't seen in series 7. There was a few in series 5 I hadn't seen. The second half of series 5 for some reason I've never seen. And a couple in series 2 and one or two in series 1 actually. I'd never seen the one where Kyle Parker dies. So I went back and watched that.
But she comes back.
She's still alive, but she still dies.
Yeah.
It's one of those weird ones. I actually thought she was properly dead because they talk about it afterwards and said, since the Kai died, it was like, yeah, well, she died, but she's not really dead. She's just perpetually kept alive on a really weird planet in the Gamma Quadrant, but she's still alive.
Yeah.
You know.
Favorite character relationship. Should I give you one to kick us off?
Go for it.
The one on the forum. Pale Young Anglicans, that's so hard to say. Favourite one is Garrick and Bashir from DS9. He says, some of the conversations are priceless, although I can't recall any right now, and the relationship was on many levels, and that neither started off by trusting the other, getting to trust each other over time. I would agree. Having watched the first season of DS9 again so recently, it's good, you know. And their relationship is very good. The way it starts off, when Bashir first meets Garrick, the first thing he does is go running off into Ops, and he's like, guess who I just spoke to?
Yeah.
And then, obviously...
Bashir was a bit of a bit annoying in the first couple of series, wasn't he? He was like the over-enthusiastic...
Yeah, I think
he was a bit irritating, but then they kind of wrote him into a bit more serious later on.
We were saying this last night, that he starts out like the young, fresh cadet just out of the academy, and very quickly he matures into this guy that, even though he's the young guy, you never doubt him at any point. You never think, what the hell is this guy doing here? You just have total confidence in him at all times, which is probably something to do with his voice.
Yeah, probably.
I think
he's also... I like Bashir and Garrick's relationship. I also like Garrick and Odo's relationship. If you remember, their stuff is, because it's from sort of different points of view of different aspects of security agencies, and it's quite bizarre how they sort of interact.
Begin to blossom later on in further series.
Yeah, that's like Way of the Warrior onwards, that sort of their relationship. But it's also got some fantastic lines, just like when Garrick's describing wanting to shoot Golda Cat in the back, and Odo says, you would have shot a man in the back, and Garrick just turns around and says, well, it is the safest way. And, you know, just things like that, which is just fantastic.
There are so many lines that you get out of Garrick over the course of the series that are absolutely fantastic.
Well, yeah, when he vaporizes a man and then just says, oh, shame, I rather liked him, and carries on, and just brilliant stuff.
He is quite camp, though.
Well, that's the brilliant thing about him. He can go from being camp as Christmas to sinister as fuck within about 2 seconds. It's fantastic. And he does just generally have really good relationships. That character in particular, sort of... His relationship with Kira is a bit predictable, but his relationship with Worf, for example, that just mutual, he just loves pissing him off. It was just very similar to the way Q and Worf interacted. And
you get the feeling that Worf's just very easy to wind up, and people just get a great deal of pleasure from doing it.
Well, some people anyway. Sisko and Garrick have a great little relationship. In fact, you know, they just, the majority of them, at one point, Quark and Garrick have a great little relationship. They all do. I think Deep Space Nine, and I think it's appropriate to say that Deep Space Nine probably has some of the more interesting relationships, just generally, between all of the characters. It's like the relationship between Picard and Beverly Crusher, for example, is one of the more interesting relationships in Next Gen. But there are so many more of them.
Yeah, with the one of the things that they tried to take into account with Deep Space Nine is that once, you know, on the Enterprise, every week we see them deal with a different problem, and then they fuck off, and they don't give a crap what happened on that planet that they saved last week. Whereas in Deep Space Nine, they're in the same place every week, so the same issues come up every week, and you have people who are thrust together and who weren't necessarily, they didn't choose to be there like people chose to be on the Enterprise. People from all different walks of life, and they don't get on. And what has emerged with DS9 is that it's so much grittier than Next Gen. Perfectly honest, I'm beginning to enjoy it more than Next Gen now. I'm watching it again. Maybe it's just because I'm watching it since I've seen Next Gen.
Maybe it's just because it's more fresh and it's stuff you haven't seen as much.
That's it.
But the fact that you're saying this after watching Series 1 makes me think, Jesus Christ, you're going to be loving it when it gets to Series 3 and 4.
Do you know what? I don't think there's been anything wrong with Season 1 or 2 so far.
Well, there are some fucking naff episodes in series one and two.
There are a couple, but nowhere near as many naff episodes as there are in season one of Next Gen.
When Wishes Were Horses is one that instantly jumps to mind.
Yeah, that one.
And what was the other fucking one? There was another terrible one in series two. In series one. I can't remember offhand.
I can't remember.
But then,
go on.
One of the ones I saw the other day, which I hadn't seen, was from series two, is when a bunch of renegades, two Klingons and Trill, come on board and steal the Dax host. And it's the dude out of Gremlins 2 and...
Scratched.
And how good was the fucking scene when he's got the Dax symbiont in him and Sisko has that conversation with him and just how much he changes from the earlier scenes to later on, and just when Sisko starts joking around with him and stuff, and it's, you know, because he's now Dax... It was a really good episode, I thought. Just for the acting, it was really clever. And I agree with you there. And I think we give DS9 a lot of stick for the first two seasons, but there are some fucking gems in there.
They most certainly are. I mean, the first three episodes of season two, the ones that all follow on, they're fucking amazing.
They're really good.
I'd seen them all before, but I forgot that it went week to week. But the episode where they're preparing for the Cardassians to attack, the Bajorans to take the station again, and they do. That was phenomenal. The whole
The siege
thing.
Yes,
the siege.
That's good.
But I think we've stumbled onto the other relationship in DS9 of Dax and Sisko. Now, they're supposed to be long-running friends from when he was Curzon Dax. And they've managed to keep the relationship going, which is always a good thing to hear about. The whole thing with the Trill as to whether the new host is supposed to fulfill any obligations of the old host and all that sort of thing. That's sort of the DS9 equivalent of Counselor Troy getting a headache.
Yeah.
It will come up every so often. Something that Jadzia has to do based on a previous host's experience or something like that.
But they're generally a bit better
than the Counselor Troy headache ones.
Yeah.
I agree with you on that, because there's the one where she goes off with the Klingons on the blood feud and stuff like that, isn't it?
Yeah, there's that one. There's the one where she discovers one of an old host that had been blocked out, who was a murderer.
Of course,
And all those memories come back, and that was quite clever. And then, like, they discover that actually... the Trill people have been lying and have been lied to, and it's actually, you know, they say that there's like something like 10% of the Trill can actually take the symbionts, but it's actually something more like 90%, but they tell them 10% so that they can keep everyone in line and go through this whole process to make sure that no one tries to trade for them on the black market and stuff like that. Right. And so there's interesting stuff like that which comes up later on. We're going to need to talk more about DS9 on another episode, definitely.
I think we should kick things off with like a DS9 episode.
Yeah, we should go through series one and talk about best episode at some point.
That's true.
So we've also got so DS9 relationships. Let's just go through a couple more of those quickly.
Kira and Odo.
I mean, a romance relationship like that. They never really, you know, B'Elanna Torres and Tom Paris was the only other one I can think of, which was, you know, an actual proper romance that actually, you know, for the whole of Series 7, they're a couple.
Of course.
You know, it's quite bizarre in Star Trek. That never really happened. Like, you know, there was a bit of
Troy and Worf. Yeah.
And, you know, but for the most part, they don't have kids. They never, you know, O'Brien is the only, you know, but they're more family orientated in DS9. The rest of the crew in Next Gen, none of them have kids, none of them are married, apart from Worf, and he didn't really even know he had a kid.
Different type of people. I mean, you've got your flagship with your career go-getters and that sort of thing, whereas DS9 is sort of a place to stick people.
Yeah, it's interesting and it's different. Kira and Odo, Jake and Sisko.
Oh,
Jake and Nog, yeah. Quark and Rom, Rom and Lita, Bashir and O'Brien. That's one of my favourites.
I did forget that they started off hating each other. Oh, no, O'Brien started off hating Julian, didn't he?
Yeah, and then they get to love each other by the end of it.
That's it. We watched the one with the tennis tournament last night. I can't remember what it was called. The season 2 one where the guy's got the... It's the guy from The Princess Bride. And he has that gambling machine that's really just a ball with a light in it. And it changes everybody's luck. And so O'Brien starts winning with shots he wouldn't have made when he was 18 and Julian can't hit anything. And there's a cool sequence where they're getting him throwing the ball around the court and it always comes back to his hand.
Yeah.
Which is quite good. We're turning into a Deep Space Nine episode now. I'm going to wrench this over and let's talk about some next-gen relationships.
Okay.
Starting with sort of Picard, because he had quite personal relationships with quite a few people. There's the Picard Crusher one, as we said before. There's many people have many different views about what actually went on with them.
Yeah.
I think
I wouldn't say it's one of my favorite relationships, though. I really wouldn't.
No, it was always quite dull because it was always clear nothing was going to happen with it unless we ever found out that Wesley was actually Picard's son.
Yeah. To be honest, I didn't find that very interesting. I didn't find most of the relationships, I mean, relationship-wise, I didn't find that interesting. I don't like Data and Picard as a team, oddly enough, and they seem to sort of go on that so much more in the movies. But I prefer
the two most popular characters.
The two most popular characters, but as a relationship, I don't think that you know, Data's too subversive, subordinate to Picard for there to be a proper relationship there.
You prefer things with Worf then?
Picard's too nice. I like Worf and Riker's relationship. That was nice little, you know, just the odd scenes they had together, which were really good. I like Geordi and Data. I like Picard and Riker because there's definitely something more going on there. I think Picard and Riker is probably the best one. And obviously Picard and Wesley, that's funny as well.
Picard and Wesley. Is he his son?
Is he his son?
He's probably not. No, that'd be horrible. I do like the bit that you see, the moment you see between Riker and Picard in the episode where Picard's been changed back into a child. And is it some Cardassians have taken over the ship? Or something like that?
Picard, little rascals.
Laren and are all kids.
Rascals, yeah.
Yeah, that's...
I can't remember what actually happens, though.
Somebody hijacks the Enterprise and obviously they misunderestimate Picard.
Misunderestimating.
I just love using that word now. I'm glad it's made it into everyday usage. I've lost my place now in my head. We had Geordi and Data. You touched on briefly. They had quite a brotherly blood. I've got Dawson disease. Brotherly relationship.
Which
is what I was going for.
They're on a level, haven't they? They've sort of, you know, Data's smarter, but Geordi's more emotionally aware, and it's that sort of.
Between them, they're a half-functioning member of society.
yeah. Take one away and the other one falls.
Yeah.
Which is why Geordi looks so upset at the end of Nemesis. But
you would expect Geordi to be the most hurt by it. I would expect Geordi to be the most upset at the end of Nemesis.
Yeah, I'd expect that as well.
With the exception of Allison, who didn't fare too well emotionally at the end of Nemesis.
No, it's not nice.
But it's very sad, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is very sad.
You know, the most famous relationship, the most talked about relationship, the most written
Spock
about.
Spock and Kirk.
Yeah, Spock and Kirk.
Yeah.
You know.
Now, I'm gonna just shove something right in here and say that it's actually not Spock and Kirk. It's Spock, Kirk and McCoy.
Yes, it is. You're absolutely right.
It's that dynamic, really.
We shall proceed on that basis quite happily.
Yeah, because, I mean, different to... I think this, the key difference, really, and something that they tried to replicate in Enterprise, is that the differences between all of the Star Trek series is the level at which they go into ensemble cast. Because the original series is most definitely Kirk, Spock, McCoy's show.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Chekhov, Uhura, Scotty, everyone else basically supporting characters.
Yeah.
They occasionally will get an episode that focuses around on them, but the majority of the time it's about those three.
You know, I think they were fairer to the supporting cast in Next Generation. I don't think... Were there many Sulu episodes of the original series?
No.
Anything like that? They were all Kirk, Spock and McCoy.
Yeah. Yeah. And the more... And you go on to Next Gen, which is more... like you say, fairer to the supporting cast. It's not all about Picard. And, you know, they all get their episodes in. But mainly it's still Picard. Then you go on to DS9, which is even more evenly distributed. I mean, Sisko's the only one, I think, who was in every single episode.
He was, yes.
But, I mean, even then, sometimes it would just be Sisko turning up for just the first scene or something like that. And a lot of the time, and especially in the later series, Sisko isn't around that much. He's busy doing things, but you don't actually see what he's doing. And so it's kind of, that's probably the most evenly spread one. I'm not too sure about Voyager, but then I think that's probably more back to the Next Gen situation. And then,
you know, Enterprise, what, with Voyager, I think there were more Chakotay oriented episodes than anyone else, because he was by far the best and most interesting character on that program.
Yeah, there was a fair few Tuvok ones as well, and Doctor ones.
Too many.
Doctor.
Oh, now then, did you spot in the episode you were just talking about on DS9, the one where they come to kidnap the Dax symbiont, the fact that Tuvok was one of the Klingons?
Yeah, Tim Russ was one of the Klingons in that.
I say that as if I noticed it. I didn't. I watched it on the extras afterwards.
Did you? All right.
I'll admit that.
I didn't know it was him. I noticed it on the cast list. It was quite good, heavy makeup. Tim Russ has turned up. He was in Enterprise. He was in Generations as the helmsman of the Enterprise B or something.
Yeah.
One of the people on Enterprise B. He was in Next Gen in Starship Mine when those bunch of people come on board and try to steal something off the Enterprise while it's being cleaned.
Oh, they're trying to get something... Oh, God, is it the antimatter or something like that?
Oh, that's it, yeah, the warp core. And he's one of the terrorists on that little trip. And then he was in DS9 as a Klingon and then turned up in Next Gen in Voyager as the...
Yeah.
...security chief. It's quite random. At the end of Enterprise, they go back to the whole Trip.
Trip and Captain Archer
and T'Pol.
Which is a blatant copy of McCoy, Spock and Kirk.
With a sexual dynamic to make it a little bit more interesting. Yeah, I mean, that's it.
The problem was that some people added the sexual element to the Kirk, Spock and McCoy relationship. And that all, quite frankly, made us feel a little bit queasy.
Yeah. It's a brilliant relationship. It's probably, excuse me, to be fair, it is probably the reason, I mean, everyone goes on about equal rights and what it did in terms of a civil liberties program and for the 1960s and how it was an amazing original sci-fi. And to be perfectly honest with you, it really wasn't. An original sci-fi, you know, everyone was going on about how the ship was different. It wasn't. It was a cross between a flying saucer and a rocket. You know, it wasn't that clever. They just took two ideas and put them together. There were some good ideas in there and everything, but I think the main reason that we still had until recently Star Trek being produced today, and the reason it was so popular and the reason that it goes on for so long is because of these interpersonal relationships, and more specifically because of that Spock, Kirk, McCoy relationship, which is one of the best written relationships, three-way relationships in anything ever written. That's quite a sweeping statement.
It is that level. It really is that level. I agree with you totally.
We would not have Star Trek today if that wasn't there. If they tried to carry on with the pilot, the Cage, you know, as there were elements that were superior in the Cage to Where No Man Has Gone Before. But if you tried to do it with Leonard Nimoy and the guy who played Christopher Pike, and that was it, you know, it would have been dead within its first season. There would never have been anything more. It would have been that random one with the guy with the pointy ears back in the 60s, and that's it. The fact that, you know, love him all over him, Bill Shatner and Leonard Nimoy and DeForest Kelly just had that chemistry, didn't they? They just had that little something which made it.
I was watching one on BBC Two the other night. I can't remember what the name of it is, but it's the one with Joan Collins.
You know
the one. McCoy injects himself with something by accident, goes through the time portal back to the 30s and all of that. Kirk obviously does what's the name? And just the few days that it's set in before McCoy arrives back in time, where it's just conversations between Kirk and Spock, their chemistry is fantastic. And, lots of people have a go at William Shatner for his delivery and stuff like that. And you watch it back and it's really not what people take the piss out of him for. It's really not. He's quite good, in fact. And he does the role so very well. Although there were one or two cheesy moments where you'd have Joan Collins looking at him and then it'd cut to him in soft focus, smiling at her, and then cut back to Joan Collins and she'd just visibly melt as Captain Kirk smiled at her, like, of course, all the women did.
Yes.
As they did for Riker, not for Picard, though. Who's the Riker character in Deep Space Nine?
It was really Bashir. But in an odd way.
Almost Sisko.
No, it's Bashir. I mean, that was the Bashir character was meant to be the horny little guy, you know, the horny guy.
Oh, but he wasn't. He was the horny little guy really, like Daniel Radcliffe in that episode of Extras.
Yeah, but he never really, you know, never really took off like that.
No, or like Jake Sisko in real life.
Yeah, Kirik Lofton, or however you pronounce his name. And then, and then Paris, and then Trip, isn't it?
Really? Yeah, I think there was no one that interesting in Enterprise. You couldn't compare any of the characters to Riker. Riker was far more three-dimensional than anyone or anything in Enterprise. God, I hate that series so much. Just thinking about it boils my blood. What were they doing? What were they doing? When they've got this, you know, there's people out there who are making their own damn Star Trek series. You know, we get emails through all the time. Have you seen this? It's a fan-made Star Trek series.
I need to watch some of those, actually.
So do I. And I'm only put off by the fact that I know visually they're crap. I know they are, because they haven't got the Paramount budget. That doesn't mean to say that their storylines will be crap. And I think if it's written by fans, it's actually more likely to be a better storyline than were it written by someone at Paramount. Have you seen they've slated the movie has been officially announced for Christmas 2008?
Yeah.
And it will be the Lost guy directing it.
With Liv Schreiber playing Dr. McCoy and...
With who?
Liv Schreiber.
The guy from Scream.
Yeah, that guy.
He's awful.
He's all right. He was getting the Mancurian candidate. I can't see him playing McCoy, though. But then I can't see anyone other than DeForest Kelly playing McCoy, just as I can't see anyone other than William Shatner.
You know, this is going to be disastrous.
Well, you know, this could be a case of Daniel Craig being slagged off for James Bond, and we're all going to look like twats in 2 years.
We're not,
but for the moment. But for the moment, I'm quite content to say that this is a monstrosity of an idea and should not in any way, shape or form be made. I will still see it 7 times in cinema, probably.
That's what upsets me about it. I'm not going to not watch it. There is no level of crap it could be that is going to stop me owning it on DVD.
Even if the trailer comes out and it looks like the most monumental piece of shit that has ever graced the silver screen, I'm still going to see it because this is fucking Star Trek film, isn't it?
That's it. But I do have the same feeling about it that I have when people remind me that Michael Bay is doing Transformers. It's the same rush of, Oh dear.
It's worse. It's worse, to be honest. It's worse. Because I don't give a shit about Transformers.
No. It's not, it's really not as much as Star Trek.
No.
Which is, let's face it, what makes the world go round.
I wanted Nemesis 2. I really liked Nemesis. It got a lot of stick, and I don't know why. And I wanted a follow-up to Nemesis.
Because there are a few moments in Nemesis that really don't make any sense.
There are a few moments really? In Nemesis that really...
Not,
but not the time or the place for going through them. But, I mean, yeah.
Not as many anyway. As in Insurrection. Mr. Worf, what are you doing here? That was terrible. That was absolutely hideous. Just the whole, fuck off, we're not going to tell you. We're not even
Insurrection
gonna
was terrible.
Yeah, we're not even going to bother thinking of why Worf's here. We're just going to have to not hear it.
I think it's fair to say that on the big screen, Next Gen really missed most of the time.
It did.
Yeah.
I blame it's the people involved for that. That's a bad Star Trek relationship. Rick Berman and what's his name? Was it Brannon Braga?
Brannon Braga, yeah.
And
well, there was Michael Piller for a while.
Michael Piller, that was it. That was the other name I was trying to think of. Because they pretty much did destroy it. And I'm blaming...
No, not Michael Piller. Michael Piller left long before it died.
Did he?
Yeah, he left in, I think, Series 3 of DS9 or something like that. That's when he buggered off.
He did right, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'm just like... Well, yeah, Brannon Braga and Rick Berman for Enterprise. Bunch of evil little... Oh, so angry about it.
Well, they have given us some good Star Trek over the years, but, you know, that's we'll still get upset about the other stuff. We'll just forget that they did good stuff as well.
It did have the episodes with Jeffrey Coombs in. Now, that was a relationship I didn't mind all that much, was the relationship between Captain Archer and Shran.
Yeah, that was a good relationship.
Because, first of all, Jeffrey Coombs is a fucking legend as a character actor. He's been in, well, most of Star Trek as a different alien every damn time, which is incredible. Yeah. And you don't notice him. And the way they did the Andorians in Enterprise was incredible. Those antennae were fantastic. The way they move.
You love those antennae, don't you? You always get on about those antennae.
They were really, really good because that for me was the biggest movement on with Enterprise, because we had Andorians before, both in the original series and in the movies. You get a sort of glimpse of them in the background. And even in the later movies, like 5 and 6, they look awful. They really look like we made them. And that's not what you expect from Star Trek. That's what you expect from Doctor Who or Torchwood. Yeah. Things that are quite blatantly a man in a mask. They don't do that with Star Trek. Do you think Quark is a man in a mask, or is it just a fucking Ferengi?
It's a fucking Ferengi.
If a Ferengi walked past you in the street, you wouldn't flinch. You wouldn't bat an eyelid. They look that good. At no point does it look like a man with a load of latex on his head. I think, whereas everything, including the actors, look like people with latex on their head in Torchwood. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe as such a Star Trek fan, I'm not the person that show is made for.
It's probably
for
not.
People who have never seen science fiction. Certainly not to the level of Star Trek.
No.
I think.
Speaking of Enterprise, I did quite like the relationship between Tripp and Malcolm. Before that was all right.
Yeah. Malcolm, I was dodgy with anyway. Is he English? I'm looking him up now, actually.
I don't know. I don't think it actually says.
Yes, Dominic Keating, born in Leicester.
Leicester, so he's English.
He is English. And for someone who actually is English, his accent was appalling. He can't speak like that in real life. He can't.
There are a few of them.
Nobody does. And they're especially not from Leicester.
No. Oh. It's like Dougray Scott. I know you don't watch it, but in Desperate Housewives at the moment, Dougray Scott is playing a British wealthy man who like comes in and woos one of the housewives.
Yeah,
and him being Scottish in real life, but he puts on the poshest English accent ever, and it's absolutely absurd. And you're listening to it, you're thinking that sounds ridiculous. And you're thinking, this guy knows better than this. But they are just sort of directed to play it up, aren't they?
Yeah, they must
be. Like, the guy who plays Giles in Buffy doesn't talk anything like that in real life. He's got a proper Cockney accent. The guy who played Spike in Buffy based his accent on the guy who played Giles' real accent.
He did a Buffy, this guy, Dominic Keating.
Did he?
He did a Buffy. He also did three episodes of The Bill. And a Casualty.
Everyone's been in The Bill. Everyone's been in The Bill. I've been in The Bill. You've been in The Bill.
Yeah.
You know, it's ridiculous. No, there's no... that's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny.
And Casualty.
And Casualty.
They are the two staples of British television acting. If you're on television, you're either in Casualty or The Bill, or you have done them both in the past.
Yeah. Like... Neighbours in Australia. Yeah.
You know what I read today in the news is that Matt Lucas and David Williams of Little Britain will be appearing in Neighbours, or have appeared in Neighbours. It's already been filmed. It's not going to be on here for another year. And they're going to be doing it as the characters Lou and Andy from Little Britain.
Right.
Crazy. I don't know why they do that on Neighbours, but maybe they just figure, hey, it's Neighbours. Who gives a crap?
It's probably the guys just big Neighbours fans.
Probably. Or the Neighbours people are big Little Britain fans. Incidentally, as a seal of quality on Dominic Keating's career, he will be seen next in Species 4. That's all I have to say. Take from that what you will. But he's in Species 4, and his character name is simply referred to as Villain.
Right.
Yeah. He's gone up in the world since Enterprise. Sadly, Species 4 probably is up in the world from Enterprise. at least there are no
Indies. Topol and Trip. I like Topol and Trip.
Well, there was a whole... They tried to play out the whole love triangle thing a bit more than they could with the Kirk-Spock-McCoy thing. Because on many occasions, we all thought Archer was going to go for T'Pol. And in fact, didn't they do an episode where, God, Archer wakes up in the future having lost his memory of the last 20 years, whatever, and he's actually married to T'Pol. And then, but she actually...
Oh, that old story.
Yeah, that one. That's happened before. That sounds similar to something that happened to Commander Riker once. Or later in the Star Trek timeline.
There's other ones where they've woken up in the future. DS9 have done that a couple of times. Ah, that was another one I watched the other day. It was a wicked one. It was about the Defiant going through a time portal in the atmosphere and traveling 200 years back in time. They crash land and then the Defiant also crash lands at the same time in the current period, where the population of the planet is dominated by 3,000 people who have descended from them 200 years in the past, and they've got to make a decision as to whether or not they go back to the future and erase those 200,000 people from existence or...
That sounds really, really good.
It was a really good one, and Odo, of course, is still alive. And it's really mad because Odo's like alive and is interacting with all of the people. Dax is alive in a different host.
Yeah.
And Odo like has learned how to shapeshift better. So his face looks better and looks almost like properly human.
Did they ever do that by the end of season 7? Did they improve his look, like his ears and things like that?
He slowly changes over the course of the series. And he mentions it at some point. He says, I try to look a little bit different every day.
Really?
Which is quite good for the makeup artists, because they could actually just change him.
Make him a little different every day.
Every day, yeah. Yeah, that was quite good. Super. That was a really good one. Anyway, this is DS9 Suckfest again.
This is Cody Knox's fault, damn him.
Damn Cody Knox. No, don't damn him. Wonderful, wonderful.
Before he came along, not a word of DS9 was uttered on this show. Now it's all I can think about.
Every now and then. The dudes in original series, Sulu and Chekhov in the movies in particular, had a very good relationship.
Well, you just felt they were friends and there wasn't really anything else we needed to know about it.
It wasn't like there was a dynamic involved in it, but I just liked the fact that they were just chums. It was a bit like Data and Geordi, really.
Yeah, it did have that. No one was particularly friends with Scotty. He got lumbered with Uhura, didn't he?
Yeah.
Because she was pretty much the only one left.
Mm.
Scotty and Uhura. Really, you can't see how they would have like come into much contact with each other. Although Scotty was left in charge, wasn't he? Like any great military institution, you send your two commanding officers and your only doctor down on away missions and leave the chief engineer in charge of everyone.
Yeah.
That's almost as clever as letting a child pilot the ship. I can't think who would do anything so stupid as that, though.
Well, each of them have that kind of thing, yeah. So what, they're sending the command crew down to the planet away missions, letting a child pilot the ship for next gen... allowing a Starship Federation officer who is revered as a deity by the local people to run a space station around the planet where the local people are living. Voyager, there must be one in Voyager.
Harry Kim, just in general.
Harry Kim, just in general, yeah. put a Klingon in charge of engineering. Bad idea.
Yeah, I just while we're very briefly to skim over that, because I'm thinking this is almost an episode topic on its own. There are certain species, the Klingons included, that you wondered how the fuck they ever got off their home planets at all, let alone got into space with warp drive.
Yeah.
Well, what number of Klingons devoted themselves to science instead of going to war that they developed warp drive? Same with the Ferengi.
Now, the Ferengi, you can kind of see because it's like the prophet thing, isn't it?
That's the only angle on it, but...
They'd have probably bartered with somebody at some point, you know, another thing. And the society's changed. In DS9, they go into it more about Klingons and how Klingons are actually a very, very diverse culture, but you just don't see the scientists very often and things like that. And... because they don't, you know, they're not after the glory and they're just in the background. And yeah, but things like that, yeah. The Romulans, God, my throat's killing me.
I know, it sounds awful.
Yeah, the Romulans, you can kind of see how they do everything. The Borg, you know, where did the Borg learn how to do all that?
We never got anything about where the Borg actually came from, do we?
Yeah, now I always used to like to think that it was a mad scientist. And one day he just invented the implant and then, like, accidentally stuck his wife with it or something.
Right.
And then she assimilated him, and then they assimilated their family, and then their family assimilated the neighborhood, and then eventually the entire planet was just completely assimilated and they built a big ship.
That's an interesting idea. I like that idea.
But then they came up with the Borg Queen, and it kind of chucked my theory out of the window.
They buggered up with the Borg so much anyway. Should we put this one to bed?
Yeah, I need to go and have some lockets or something.
You do. You need to go and gargle with some TCP or something like that.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. What were you doing on this shoot?
It was just a long, cold, wet shoot.
I've been on those.
Yeah, it was external. The whole fucking shoot was external.
Oh.
And we were in dilapidated breweries. Literally at one point, I was standing on a gangway with a three-story sheer drop beneath me, and there was rusty metal and used hypodermics everywhere and heroin spoons and bits of the stairwell falling off. We were not meant to be in that building, but we were allowed in that building, but you shouldn't let people into buildings like that.
No.
Yeah,
that sounds horrid.
Picked up something. It was covered in wet fiberglass, and I'm sure I probably swallowed some of it.
Oh dear, I'm not in the least bit jealous. That sounds horrible.
It wasn't the most pleasant of experiences. It was actually fun though. It was a good shoot.
Oh dear.
Anyway.
One thing I forgot to mention at the beginning of the show, something I noticed on play.com the other night, and who was it? Trekkie Geek from the forums left us a message to let us know as well. All the, you know, something we've talked about for ages, the Deep Space Nine Slimline DVD boxes. Will be out on the 30th of April.
Ah, fantastic.
All of them in one go. All on the 30th of April. Each of them $27.99. Bit too expensive for now, I think. Wait till they're at $17.99.
Yeah.
That's what I paid for the next gen ones, and I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
And it sort of put me off buying anything else for like $13.99. The Departed, $13.99. I think, fuck off, that's only an hour and a half long movie. I can buy a season of Next Gen for another fiver.
Yeah.
You know, it seems much easier. So thank you to everyone very much for listening. Sorry about the Skype thing. Hopefully things will be better next week when Barkley the dog is much better. I can't see him now. I don't know what he's doing. What's he doing?
He's What's asleep. Reginald doing?
Pardon?
What's Reginald doing?
He's asleep, and then he's got to go back to work on the EMH program we've got here.
Right, okay.
That's the plan. So go and suggest something for us to talk about on our forums, simplysyndicated.com/makeitso/forums. Drop us an email at makeitso@simplysyndicated.com, or you can Skype in. I don't have the number up on my screen, so the Skype username is Simply Syndicated. Go and check out the website. The phone number's actually on there anyway. If you like the show, we've got some others, haven't we, Mike?
Well, yes, we do.
We do. We have movies you should see. The live show on Saturday was a tremendous disaster.
And it's not been a good week, has it?
No, it hasn't. It's been a bad week while many good things are happening at the same time. But we're not allowed to talk about those. But everybody's heard about the bad things. So everything should be back to normal as of today. That's my plan. Today they'll be Make It So. Tomorrow there'll be a new, or do you think that's just bollocks? Thursday is Weekend Watches. Friday is The Definitive Word. Oh, we need to record a new one of those. Saturday again will be Movies You Should See. Awesome.
Fantastic.
Okay, so thank you very much for listening, everybody. We'll catch you next week.